Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year, Jason Wilde.
Is there anything anybody loves more than agreeing with Tausch?
Packers Hall of Famer, Mark Tauscher.
I got a hunch this isn't going to be concise either.
Broadcasting live from the Everlight Solar Studio.
I would say that you are pretty easygoing. You're actually probably more easygoing than I am.
This is Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin.
Well, there's no... You're not easygoing at all.
Hey!
On 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.
Edition.
The green and growing better each year. And come see what's brewing. Doo-doo-doo. Edition. The opening day edition, meaning that the great Jeff Levering is scheduled to appear. Our Brewers buddy and our Bucks buddy on the same show? Get out of here. Edition. And the... I think we're going to have to talk a little bit about Aaron Rodgers. Thanks to Kwesi Adolfo-Mensah edition of Wilde and Tausch. A 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee, 100.5 ESPN Madison, 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, ESPNWisconsin.com, the ESPN app, your Alexa smart speaker, streaming live video. Not on Twitter today. Thanks a lot, Justin Garcia. But on Facebook or no on Facebook too, Jesse?
Facebook's been an issue.
Well, at least you got YouTube.
Two YouTubes.
And of course, everything you need on WisconsinOnDemand.com and the Wisconsin On Demand app. I'm Jason Wilde in Green Bay. Jesse Nelson is in the Everlight Solar ESPN Madison studios, although I'm not sure what exactly he's accomplishing there. And I believe inside the Gruber Law Offices, One Call That's All Studios, downtown at the Avenue and the 3rd Street Market Hall, proudly wearing his Arizona Wildcats ball cap as they, I believe, dismissed the Oregon Ducks from the tournament to advance to the Sweet 16. I don't know. I've lost interest since I've lost 75% of my Final Four on my bracket because I'm stupid. It is our Bucks buddy. He was not in Denver, but he was on Bucks Talk, and the pregame, and the postgame, and the halftime, and all the stuff he does for us. He's the best. He is. I'm telling you, even if I didn't like him, I would like his work. It is Justin Garcia, our cousin sub of the day. Cousin subs, we believe in better as the Tausch spring sabbatical continues. Justin, you don't have any deep vein thrombosis we need to be worried about. There's nothing else going on with you. You're still healthy as a horse.
To the best of my knowledge, yeah, still healthy-ish as a horse. And no deep vein thrombosis to work through for me, but same unfortunately cannot be said for our beloved Bucks.
And by the way, that is not something that we are joking about here. That is blood clots, scary stuff. So not great, but in case you haven't heard this news, because you haven't listened to Justin, which you should always do, Dame Lillard possibly... for the season,
definitely for the foreseeable future sidelined with a blood clot in his calf. We don't talk a lot of Bucks on this show unless you're here. You're not one-dimensional, though, so you can talk a lot of different stuff, so it's not going to be 3 hours of Bucks talk, even though you could easily do that and then some. What's the prognosis? What's the hope? And what does this mean for a team that is still waiting for Bobby Portis to get back from his suspension as well? Not great, Bob or Justin.
So Bobby Portis is back for the final four games. So you got six games left on the Bobby Portis suspension. Jericho Sims is hopefully back before the playoffs, maybe that last week too. So you're going to go from no bigs to all of a sudden this influx of bigs, ideally the final week of the season. But the Dame one is the biggest one, obviously. And I know there are statements that have come from the organization, I guess. We haven't seen anything in this regard from the Bucks, but hints that we're optimistic he's going to be able to return this season. Last year before Giannis, before that first round series against the Pacers, mm-hmm. I had said, like, you got to assume he's not playing. If you read between the lines, doesn't sound good. We all rushed to our computers to look up what is a soleus and then saw, this Kevin Durant thing and the mm-hmm. thought of this could lead to further injuries and calf issues. So all of that and the fact that we kept hearing hope. Hey, we hope we're going to have Giannis. It became pretty clear you have to assume he's not playing in that series against the Pacers. This is much more severe. You know, as you mentioned, it's a blood clot. It's not a soft tissue injury. It's something that impacts mm-hmm. you potentially for the rest of your life. And the statements of we're optimistic, we're hopeful that he's going to be able to return for the playoffs, great. I'm no doctor. I just know everyone, the few people I know that have dealt with blood clots. Granted, they're not world-class athletes. It's months that you're on blood thinners. And if you're on blood thinners, you're not playing in a game. So I guess you just have to go forward and say, we got to lean into our defense, and we're going to have to hit a lot of threes. And that's, I suppose, the positive from this season is the defense has been very good all season long. And it's not to take away from Dame as a player, but you make a case, you're going to be even better defensively with a guy like Ryan Rollins or even Kevin Porter Jr. on the floor there. Now, you're going to lose a lot offensively, but you're going to be able to really lean into your defense. So I think the long and short of it is you can't just wait for Superman to come. You got to figure out, how do we go forward with this as the team? And if that changes, great. We feel like we're in an even better spot.
Did you feel like, obviously, I get to listen to you on a... One of my favorite things, by the way, I have Sirius XM, which I use on my phone because my cheap little Nissan Sentra doesn't have it anymore because I'm too cheap to pay for it through the actual car. But Paula has it, and then we have the little account. Is listening to you and Gabe or you and Dave Kane, the local telecast or broadcast on Sirius XM is amazing, and it runs all of our commercials from 620, so I get to hear all of our partners too. But when I listen to you, you seem, I don't want to put words in your mouth. So let me just say this. Where is your, even before this news, where was your hopefulness / concern level about what was realistic to expect from this team in the postseason? Even before this news about Dame?
There was elevated concern because I think the last time that we were on this show mentioning there weren't as many data points as you had last year that you could point to and say, here's the record against the top teams. Here's, you know, their starting five is one of the best lineups by the numbers in the league, or even where the offense ranked that it's clearly not at right now. So you have fewer of those, but I mean, you still have Giannis, right? And you have a much improved defense than you had a year ago. So any series you play in the Eastern Conference, you're going to have the best player on the floor. Now, we said before this, you need Damian Lillard to be the second or third best player on the floor, in especially those series against teams like the Cavs and the Celtics, mm-hmm. if you get there. But you're going to have the best player on the floor in the series. And it doesn't always indicate success, but it has a pretty strong track record mm-hmm. in this league. So you still have that. So in that sense, all hope is not lost. Right now, would you pick the Bucks to beat the Celtics or the Cavaliers in a series? I would venture to guess 9 out of 10. I'm assuming there's one really optimistic fan out there, but 9 out of 10 would say no. And by the numbers, I can't go against that. But you never know what happens once you get to the playoffs and injuries start to happen and the lights shine brighter. I mean, I think that's the big question with the Cleveland Cavaliers right now is, hey, works really well in the regular season. This is the same team, by and large, and went to 7 games with the Magic in the first round last year. And this is a group outside of Donovan Mitchell, Max Strus, for that matter, that doesn't really have a whole lot of postseason experience. Mm-hmm. So the shots that you get in the playoffs are much different than the regular season. So I think there still is a little bit of a question there with Cleveland. And, you know, you could push back somewhat on the Bucks, but again, Giannis, Brooke Lopez, Bobby Portis, those guys have been on deep playoff runs and won a championship. So it's not a this is it, season is over, you got to reimagine everything you're doing in this offseason. You still have Giannis, and look, if everything they've said is accurate and Damian Lillard can, in fact, return at some point this season, great. That increases the optimism even more. But for the time being, you just got to lean into, we have arguably the best player in the world, and we have a defense that is going to translate to the playoffs that we feel strongly in.
I know some people who listen to the show think I don't have a plan, which I can totally understand why they would view it that way, especially when I'm on with old boy. But I ask this question because it's going to lead into something that Jesse actually wanted to try and do yesterday, but I think it works out better because not only do we have our Bucks buddy here and not only do we have our Brewers buddy, Jeff Levering, scheduled to appear, but it is opening day for the Brewers. And opening day, whether it's whatever sport it is, you're always filled with optimism. Unless you're a fan of like the Cleveland Browns or the Jacksonville Jaguars or the Oakland, whatever they are now, Athletics. Are they just a team now with no location?
They're just the Athletics. There's no mention of the city.
That's a weird deal, man. But this is a really good idea by Jesse, which I can't believe I just said that. We're going to take your optimism temperature on all teams across the spectrum of Wisconsin sports because we've got a Wisconsin and a Marquette basketball season that both just ended shy of the Sweet 16. Certainly there's always questions about where the Badger football team is and where it's headed, but the Bucks are approaching the postseason, the Brewers are kicking off their season, and the Packers, as you watched free agency play out, I'm guessing you weren't overly giddy as a Packers fan about what they did, even if you think Mecole Hardman is going to be their new Tyreek Hill. So we'll get into the Optimist Club, as Jesse calls it, next with our Bucks buddy Justin Garcia here as our cousin sub of the day for Tausch. Cousin subs, we believe in better. And speaking of Tausch, here he is telling us about Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Stick around. It's Wildy and Tausch.
Mark Tauscher here for Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Well, we talk a lot about the unprecedented quality and service you get from Pella. But talking to the people who work there, you can tell how much they genuinely love what they do. Pella's team is with you from start to finish. They don't disappear after the sale. Right now, take advantage of windows as low as $22 per month and doors as low as $89 per month. Certain restrictions do apply. This offer ends March 31st, 2025. Get started today at PellaWI.com.
This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
The great Justin Garcia. How many times has that phrase been uttered? I mean it, though. Is our cousin sub of the day. Cousin subs, we believe in better.
It seemed unnecessary.
What?
I'm slamming our guy, JG.
Not slamming him at all. I believe he is the great Justin Garcia. Other people maybe don't agree. That's all. Don't roll your eyes at me.
I have a question about this song, by the way.
It's not maybe either. They definitely don't.
So every year on opening day, My dad says, are you going to play the baseball song? This is the baseball song.
Center field, John Fogerty.
Mm-hmm.
Creedence Clearwater Revival.
And I was talking to him on my drive-in this morning. Called him to say happy opening day. Usher George, you know, always celebrating opening day, whether it's home or away.
Does he get into his old uniform from County Stadium or Miller Park?
Yeah, I like to think so. He's suiting up today.
Walking around the house.
Pouring himself
like Ron Wolf wearing
fashioned.
His Hall of Fame jacket.
Sitting down in the recliner. He said, I think you should play this song every break coming back today. And I said, that seems excessive.
Yeah. So does that mean it's going to be every other break?
Or is this a one-hit wonder?
It is my dad.
He doesn't ask much of the show ever. He's one of our best fans. Do we play this? How often do we play the song? Because he said every break, which seems like too much. Like, we've got a lot of great music we want to play today. But I don't want to let him down.
I think that ship is
too late for that.
Sorry.
All right, never mind. Sorry, Dad.
What about once an hour? Is that a compromise?
Sure. Yeah. One an hour we'll go. We'll do that. Yeah.
Are there other baseball songs?
Take me out to the ball game. Roll
like
out the
popular
barrel.
Popular songs. Like ones that would have been like this was a
God Bless
America. Yeah, well, I remember when this song came out, and I think on what used to be WKTI, the music radio station, Justin, you grew up in Milwaukee, you know this, there was an edition that they made of this song that had like, you're a little younger than me, so maybe you're not even old enough for this, but George Bamberger was the manager, and they had, like, they recorded certain things from him, and there's a drop in there where he would say, I'm George Bamberger and I'm the coach, and so they Milwaukee-ized it. So if you could get your hands on that edition, Jesse, count me in. They could play it more than once an hour, but give Usher George some homework. How good is he with the Google machine?
Not good.
Okay. Well, then never mind.
Wild Things, someone says in the YouTube comment. Are we counting that as a baseball song?
Sure. I mean, it's a signature song in a baseball movie that we all love, right?
Yes.
Okay. I'll have to think about some more. All right, Jesse, this is supposed to be your moment to shine, which... sometimes I wonder if your best ideas are there because they're really good ideas or they're vehicles for you to get more airtime and then they turn out to be good ideas as a bonus.
Usually I steal them from other people. Yeah.
Is that the case here?
No. As far as I know.
Oh, jeez. Okay. Well, take it away, the King of the Optimist Club.
So, as you mentioned, Jason, on opening day, we always want to be optimistic about the prospects for the Brewers in the 2025 season, and really any opening day, when the Packers take to the field for the first time in early September, when the Badgers run out onto Camp Randall Stadium for the first time on a Thursday night against Miami, Ohio in late August. Like, there's always optimism about the start of a season. This is the interesting case that we have today, that this is the start of the Brewers season, where I think fans, myself included, can be optimistic that coming off a NL Central Division championship, many of the same players returning this year, feeling pretty good about the state of the team, we like where we're at heading into this 2025 season. Yesterday, I'm listening to Kyle Bruston-Nortman, and they're talking about the Green
Bay. Great show.
They're talking about great show. Weekdays at 2 on ESPN Wisconsin. They're talking about how Jordan Love stepped into a rough situation in Green Bay, and it seems like morale is low for the Packers at this point of the offseason based on the free agency signings. Badger football, we know morale is low after not making a bowl game for the first time in forever. Badger basketball, Marquette basketball, morale is kind of down after what seemed to be a generally positive season with subpar performances in the NCAA tournament based on what each fan base was expecting. So I don't know where the optimism actually is the most right now for the Wisconsin sports fan. I think it's with the Brewers as they suit up for opening day today, even more so than the Packers or any of the other teams. Any objections from you, Justin or Jason?
Yes. Yeah. I still think it's the Packers, and by the numbers, it has to be the Packers because that's where it's probably easiest in pro sports to break through and win a championship. If, for all the gripes you have of the offseason and they haven't addressed receiver or this or that, you still have a better chance to win and advance in the NFL than you do in Major League Baseball. The Brewers division is getting better as well. The payroll remains a pretty big thing. Like, we love to romanticize over baseball is back and the Brewers, but you got better chances in football than you do baseball, basketball, the injuries and everything else there. And college is a totally different game because of NIL. So I would hardly push back and say I think it's the Packers that you have to be most optimistic around.
That's what I mean about the great Justin Garcia. He's just he's not just a Bucs guy. And you're 1,000% right on that. Now, oddly enough, I just got in my inbox 2025 opening NFL win total projections.
Ooh.
From my buddy Jimmy Shapiro, who sent this along from Bet Online. Would you like to guess where they have set the Packers over under number of victories for the 2025 NFL season? Jesse, I will let you guess first.
They're playing a third place schedule, right? Yeah, Minnesota was second place.
They are.
Mm-hmm. So third place schedule seems favorable. AFC North are the opponents this year. That's a pretty good division. 10.5.
So since Jesse is just spewing some facts, some maybe guesswork, the Packers' home schedule, their opponents, obviously the three division teams, they went 1-5 in their own division last year, but lots of changes in the division. Their home games against the Philadelphia Eagles, the Washington Commanders, those are two teams that played in the NFC title game last year, the Baltimore Ravens, the Cincinnati Bengals, and then the lowly Carolina Panthers. Their road games, in addition to the division, are at Dallas, at the Giants, at the Browns, at the Steelers, or per Ben Brust's reports, against the Steelers in Dublin, Ireland, at Denver, and at Arizona. So without the draft having occurred yet, I look at that schedule and say, even with the uncertainty of the Lions losing both coordinators, the Vikings having either J.J. McCarthy or Aaron Rodgers as their quarterback, and the Bears seemingly shoring up their offensive line to maybe give their golden child quarterback a chance to succeed, that looks on paper like a harder schedule than they faced last year. Is that fair, Justin? Would you say that's fair?
Yeah.
Okay. So while I still agree with Justin as that is the team with the most optimism that I would have, I don't think it's going to be easy. So 9.5, you know, they go 10-7. That's a one fewer win than they had this past season, but that might actually be as good or better of a team if that ends up being their record, given who they have to face. So I think that that's a tough. Again, I don't bet, but if I did, I'm not sure that I would know what to take on that. I would probably take more, but I wouldn't do it with a boatload of conviction, just because there's a lot of things that could happen with that schedule.
Yeah, I mean, and it's one game. That's what makes it, like, this is where I would put my eggs in that basket of where do you have more optimism? Can the Packers
right.
win one game and then win one game and then win one game? Sure, but we've seen wild card teams go further and further in Major League Baseball. We saw the Miami Heat as the team that went to the NBA Finals out of the play-in tournament. But other than that, you got to be a top three seed, is what history indicates, to go far and win a championship in the NBA. Bucks aren't going to be a top three seed this year. The go-forward path, who knows? They got a lot of interesting options this offseason. The Brewers, as we mentioned, you got divisional teams that the Cubs are going to continue to spend money and get better, you would assume. The Reds are still a very young team with some talent. Cardinals are down on it, but it's a tough division historically that the Brewers are in. And it's just, it's not winning one game. It's winning series. And that's mm-hmm. where it becomes more complex. That's why you see these teams break through, because of the odds that are in. Can you do this one time and then do it one more time, versus you got to be the better team to win 4 out of 7 games or 3 out of 5 games.
Jesse, so where is your optimism as you're wearing your Brewers ball and glove logo? Which that looks like, is that the updated one, or is that the, that's the updated one. All right, I could see from the seams that it's the updated one.
This year or two ago, yeah. This is, I love this one. My brother-in-law,
Nick,
got
this for me. Does it still fit you, or is it a little too baggy now because you lost all that weight?
It's a little big, but we're good. We're good.
Mm-hmm. You look exquisite.
Thanks to Madison weight loss. Mm-hmm.
You and I, we had Pat Murphy on the show. I really like him. There's something about him that, and every time I see him interviewed, you know, again, as a reporter, do I love having your kids at the press conferences after games? I don't. But I like everything else about him, including the fact that he feels like the kind of guy you would love to play for. Is that enough? Is Brandon Woodruff being back enough? Is there infield juggling enough? Is Jackson Churio enough for them to be division champs? Is the weakness of the division potentially enough for them to win the division?
Yeah, I feel like the Reds have been picked to like be a sneaky team in the NL Central for like 8 years in a row, and they just never do it, so I'm not too worried about them yet. The Cubs are the favorite by the betting odds to win the NL Central this year, which, okay, maybe.
You're so you just the, I don't know if it's the Cubs or if it's council or what, but man,
I was
bitter beer face, man.
I was in Dubuque last week, and did I maybe open the ESPN Bet app before I left the great state of Iowa and put a friendly wager down on the Brewers to win the National League Central Division this year? Yes, I did. I think where the pessimism comes from Brewers fans is not about like, or this is still, I think, the golden age of Milwaukee Brewers baseball. 1982 was great for all of its own reasons. I watched the documentary. It was incredible. Like, that was so cool. 2008 was really cool for a certain reason, because it was the first time in forever the team had made the playoffs. But it's the golden age of Brewers baseball, where for the better part of a decade, they've been in the playoffs every single year, which in Major League Baseball is an incredibly difficult thing to do. They've done it almost every year. They look to be on pace to be right in the mix again to do it this season. The problem is the pessimism comes once the postseason starts, because the Brewers have, the phrase is, bites at the apple without ever getting over the hump in the playoffs when it matters most. And that was on full display again last year when the Mets came to town and took care of the Brewers in 3 games. Like, that's where the pessimism comes from about the Brewers. But optimistically, the regular season looks to be good again. Like, the pitching staff is solid. The lineup is great, with Churio leading the way as the great young player. Yelich is still around. Like, there's still a lot of good stuff to be excited about as a Brewers fan all season long. It's just, can they get it done in the playoffs? And I wish that wasn't the mentality, knowing where this team was 10 years ago or even further back, when it was forever before they had reached the playoffs. Like, we should be thankful that they're making the playoffs every year, but the expectation has now been raised. The bar has been raised, where it's not about what you do in the play or in the regular season. It's all about what you do in the playoffs.
Which, again, is what I hate about where we're at in sports. Like, you just referred to the Wisconsin and the Marquette basketball seasons in the same way, and I do not want to go down the road of successful or failure of a season, because that just gets me more mad. Somewhere, Tony Cartagena, who I love like my younger brother, I still am mad at him for the 2016 argument that we had in the infancy of this show, that the 2016 season for the Packers was a failure, even though Rodgers said run the table, and that clearly not talented enough team reached the NFC championship game, and it provided one of the greatest moments in Packers history with the completion to Jared Cook and then Mason Crosby kicking a game-winning 51-yarder not once but twice in Dallas. But that's where we're at, right? That's how the Bucks are viewed. That's how certainly the Packers are now viewed. They had that 1 year of low expectations because it was Love's first year as the starter. But then they went out and they beat the Cowboys on the road and they hung with the 49ers for 3.5 quarters and the expectation changed. And then they lost all two games to end the regular season, lost their playoff game, and now we look at them completely differently than we did a year ago. We're looking at the Brewers and we're looking at all these playoff failures, which, again, I would rather have playoff failures than what the Brewers had from about 2000 or not even that, like 1990. No, like
after 1992 up until 2008, basically. 2007 when they finally got to 500.
Right. So I as you guys know, I am a big Journey guy, and I'm not talking about the band. And the journey for like the Badger men's basketball team of being picked 12th and doing some of the things they did. Yes, they got beat by BYU and that sucks. But and they haven't been to the Sweet 16 since 2017. That's all fair criticism. But I don't know. I have optimism about that program because it looks like, unlike some other coaches, Greg Gard at least has adapted both in terms of how he runs an offense and how he builds a roster in the NIL era. Now, you better get lucky with another John Tanjay type guy to make that happen, but the everything is an abject failure if you don't play in the Super Bowl or you don't play in the NBA Finals. I don't know. Am I being Pollyanna-ish to view it that way, Justin? Am I just is that foolish of me to feel that way?
It's I don't know. It's tough for me because I used to really feel that way. Just very strongly black and white. Did you succeed or did you not succeed? But to that last point or one of the last ones you made, like I remember what it was like growing up watching the Brewers and going to County Stadium to see the opposing players and investing in guys like Mark Newfield and John Jaha and Dave Nielsen and all that type, right? Like I remember going to those games and just thinking, man, it'd be really nice if the Brewers were even just better than average one of these years. And thinking about things like the playoffs and how inconceivable that was for the Brewers. For the Bucks too, like go back to the early 90s and tell somebody, hey, 30 years from now, this team's going to win an NBA championship. You would have thought we were crazy because it's one of 5 to 6 teams that can win and you don't have the best player. So on the one hand, like you do want to keep that perspective of, do you remember what this was like to follow those teams that were winning 70 games if they were lucky in the case of the Brewers? I mean, I started in radio in the early 2000s, and one of my jobs as an intern at WTMJ was covering the 2003 Milwaukee Brewers, and that was quite an experience to see that group with, you know, the guys like Scott Podsednik, Brooks Kieschnick, and thinking about the guys that came through Milwaukee and just the Brewers getting their brains beaten in. So there is that perspective, too, of, look, I get it's disappointing to come so close and lose in the postseason, but would you rather suffer through going 70 and 92 year after year after year or worse? And same with the Bucks. Would you rather get back to when this team was, we got to figure out, is there a way we can get the 8th seed and hopefully win 35 games?
In Justin's first season in 2003, the Milwaukee Brewers finished 6th in the NL Central with a 68 and 94 record.
Woof. Yeah, it was quite a time at the ballpark that season. I think that was Jerry Royster, right, as the manager?
Was that the year Jose
Ned Yost.
Was it still Ned?
Oh.
Okay.
Was that the year Jose Hernandez got benched with like 2 weeks to go to avoid
was,
the strikeout
I
record?
I think a year or two before that.
2002, as I scroll through Baseball Reference, 2002, the Milwaukee Brewers went 56 and 106.
That was a tough one.
Davey Lopes, 3-12, followed by Jerry Royster going 53-94 the rest of the way.
It was quite a time.
What a time to be alive.
It was something else. Just looking forward to, well, this team's coming into town. I'll get a chance to see Barry Bonds. Hey, we'll get a chance to see this guy.
The roof was still new at the time, so people would come and stay for after the game. Like, they would do the roof.
Yeah, and one of the things that I do remember most was, I don't remember if it was 2003 because I did this for two summers. It was either 2003 or 2004, but Corey Hart got called up and made his debut, and the Brewers brought him on as a pinch hitter late in the game, and he just knocked the crap out of a ball foul. That wasn't a home run, but hey, if it would have stayed fair, that's a home run. And like the optimism in the stadium of, we got something here, this guy, he promptly struck out.
Slider low and away tend to do that to him.
Yeah.
The 2004 Brewers played one fewer game, apparently, because they went 67-94 the next year.
Didn't need to make up that rain out in Pittsburgh.
Why bother? Yeah.
All right, we got more with Justin Garcia as our Cousin Sub of the Day. Cousin Subs, we believe in better. But it is opening day. The Brewers opening the 2025 season in New York against the Yankees with our buddy Bill Schroeder on the call on ESPN with Joe Buck. And I couldn't be happier for Bill. I'm glad that national viewers will get a taste of how great he is. We are lucky to have so many great color analysts, except on Badger football on the radio, throughout our sports teams. But it is opening day, and so it's time to get ready for the home opener, which is right around the corner on Monday. Get those tailgate grills out and grab your groceries. Opening day in Milwaukee is almost here. The unofficial start to summer happens on Monday with the Brewers home opener, and ESPN Wisconsin will be all over it. Sponsored by Carbless, ready-to-drink cocktails. We'll have live shows from inside the ballpark, special guests all day, and an unmatched excitement for the crew as ESPN Wisconsin will carry every pitch of the home opener. Opening day on ESPN Wisconsin is sponsored by Carbless. Grab a pack today and be the MVP of your tailgate. Happy baseball season. More with Justin Garcia, our Cousin Sub of the Day. Cousin Subs, we believe in better. It's Wilde and Tausch.
We're on the Brewers.
They're really good at identifying talent. They're really good at developing talent.
Because we're on Wisconsin Sports.
This is one of the best organizations in Major League Baseball.
100.5 ESPN.
Continuing with Justin Garcia, our Cousin Sub of the Day. Cousin Subs, we believe in better as we get ready for the Brewers opener against the Yankees. I am warning you now, there will be some conversation about Aaron Rodgers on today's program. I hope that you'll stay, because I know some of you don't like that idea. But if you heard some of the things, and maybe Jesse will have audio of Kwesi Adofo-Mensah from the Vikings website, because talk about a guy twisting himself into a pretzel trying to say that J.J. McCarthy's our guy. But if he's not, we still have Aaron Rodgers' number. That's what occurred yesterday with the Vikings media. So I'll be curious to see how people react. But I hope you'll stick around. I really do. And I know Justin will, because he's here for the entire show. So at least I know you'll
be here. Would you rather sit through the Brewers winning 65 games or never have to see Aaron Rodgers play? It's basically.
I'm not sure. That might be a tough call, actually, for some. Jesse, one more thing about the Brewers, though. So we know that you hate is a strong word, and I don't like to use it. How would you describe how you feel about Craig Counsell? Despise?
I hate the Chicago Cubs. I really don't like Craig Counsell.
Doesn't matter what he accomplished. Doesn't matter that he's a local guy like yourself. Grew up on the other side of Milwaukee.
But not you just you can't.
Dad also
yourself.
Worked at the stadium. And
yeah.
For,
yeah.
You got a lot in common.
As John Anderson outlined yesterday with his being a Missouri guy and his hate for Kansas and all things Jayhawks, that re-inspired me on opening day here, 2025. I appreciate that Craig Counsell helped get the Brewers to new heights, and I hope the door hit him on the way out as he left for Chicago. And if he would have just been honest and said, I just want the money, and I'm just going to bolt town because I want to go win, and this team has a bunch of money they can spend on players, like, at least be honest with us. Don't say, oh, I need a new professional challenge. You didn't win anything. You didn't get to the World Series. Granted, you didn't even win the World Series. You didn't get to a World Series. Win a National League pennant, then we can talk about that when you want a new professional challenge. You didn't do it. This isn't Joe Maddon leaving the Cubs being like, oh, I did the best I could. Like, that's not what this is. Just be honest
with us.
If he said,
I'm going to the Cubs for the money, you would hold no ill will towards him.
I mean, would I hold ill will toward him no matter what if he left the Brewers for the Cubs? Yes. To the same degree where it felt like he was just lying up at a microphone saying, oh, I just needed a new challenge. This is
it is a new challenge.
Sure is. And then, oh,
turned out to be more of a challenge than he thought.
I can't believe the fans are reacting the way that they have. And then he leaned into it at spring training last year.
Did he ever say, I can't believe the fans are reacting the way they have?
Along those lines, yes. I could find the exact quote. I know you're a stickler for that kind of thing.
I'll find the exact
quote. He said, I can't believe this has been the reaction or whatever it was along those lines. Like, come on, dude. I hate the Cubs so much.
I'm with you there, but also, like, and Jesse, you're the wrong example for this, but, like, if we have a problem with Craig Counsell going to the Cubs and leaving the Brewers and doing it for the money, like, stay in the same job for the rest of your life. Never leave. Never go anywhere else. Never look for more money and a new challenge. Just job you have, ride it out for life. If that's the stance that you have on Craig Counsell.
Bullstream TV. Never calling a college program or an NFL team. Like, nope, nothing. You're just going to stick with Bullstream TV and Prep Mania.
This was the argument that we had when this came up a year and a half ago. It is not the same when you're a Major League Baseball manager with the background that Craig Counsell has versus being a up-and-coming radio person.
You're not up-and-coming anymore.
Yeah,
this is like the young players kind of a thing.
It is not the same comp. It is not the same as an accountant.
Riley is up and coming.
It is not the same as an accountant.
But how is it not
firm.
The same job? This is your job.
When you are embedded in the Brewers community, when you have won two World Series in walk-off at two of the most legendary World Series wins, Craig Counsell was
a Brewers.
Part of. Correct. Which is why that's the thing that he has left to do. Is lead the Brewers to a first World Series title. When your dad works for the team, and when you played for the team, and when you came up professionally post-baseball career leading the team, that is what you have left to do. It's different than anybody else say, oh, you wouldn't take the money to go work for another state. That's not what this is. It's very different.
Maybe he just doesn't think that they'll ever be able to do that. And he'd like to win a World Series as a manager, having done it as a player twice, I believe, right? Once in Arizona and once in Miami. Maybe he just doesn't believe that. And look, I understand that this quote was taken out of context, but the line about is the responsibility of ownership to win a World Series or give people entertainment and enjoyment and memories. Maybe he just thinks that the way the Major League Baseball cookie crumbles with the outspending of smaller market teams, maybe he just thought he's never going to win a World Series as a manager here. And
maybe he thinks the apple's bigger in Chicago.
Right.
You get more bites at a bigger. So, Jesse, do you think, along the lines of what we were talking about before, if you don't win a championship, is that a failure?
It depends what the expectations are going into a season. No, I do not think that in baseball, especially, not winning a championship makes a season a failure. I would say that's
not
true.
Well, last year's Packers season, is that a failure?
Yes, because there wasn't growth from the previous season. They ended up being in almost the exact same position, including being the 7 seed losing. And actually, it ended up worse. They went backwards because they lost in the first round of the playoffs. So, yeah, last season was a failure for the Packers organization because they didn't take a step forward.
Well, I got to be honest. That's not the response I expected, and I can't do quite as much with that. I was assuming you would be the, yes, it is, and we could point out, well, if that's the case, you buy into sports as a business. So, in that sense, what's the problem with Craig Counsell?
Is there anyone in sports at this point that you feel this strongly about, Jesse, in a negative way?
No. Public enemy number one. Public enemy number one remains Craig Counsell. I don't know who number two is.
All right. We have other stuff I want to get to, but I want to open up the Carbless talk and text line. List is more.
PJ Fleck. He's up there.
Yeah, but I guess, but he's nowhere close to how you feel.
There's tier one is Craig Counsell, and then it's maybe skip a tier to tier three, PJ Fleck.
Do you feel like Jesse Nelson? Like, we are more than a year removed from him leaving for the Cubs, and the Cubs stunk last year, right? The Brewers went to the playoffs. We love Pat Murphy, who, by the way, is Craig Counsell's biggest mentor and friend. There's a lot of really, there's enough reason to say bygones are bygones, but not for Jesse. So what I want to know from you, 844-770-3776, as this new season dawns, optimism and every hope springs eternal, are you still heartbreak? Because look, I'm a grudge holder, we know that, but this, the intensity with which Jesse holds this grudge, I am curious if this is commonplace among Brewers fans or if Jesse is the outlier. So you can text us, call us, 844-770-3776, 844-770-3776. Are you like Jesse, or is Jesse being a little bit douchey? Like, is it a little bit too much? I think that's okay with the FCC, by the way. I've used it previously. I want to know. And Jesse, maybe you will be supported in this. I'm also going to poll it. So we will put that on a Twitter poll as well. Jesse is a generally nice fellow. Now, does he take a lot of days off? Does he give a lot of people around? Does he delegate a lot of his workload? He does. Do we give him a hard time on the show? We do. But I think Jesse's a good person. But overall, like, the level of vitriol you feel for him, it feels unhealthy to me. Have you considered that? He's answering a phone call, I'm sure.
I was, sorry.
That's what I figured. No, it's fine. We're going to hear from Tausch telling us about Kohler Services, and then we're going to poll this. We're going to take your calls or your texts on the Carbless Talk and Text line. This is more, 844-770-3776. Do you hate Craig Counsell as much as Jesse does? I hope the answer is overwhelmingly no, and that there are only a handful of outliers who feel this intensely like Jesse does. But we're going to find out together next. It's Wilde and Tausch.
Mark Tauscher here, and if you've been putting off your bath or shower remodel, now is the time to turn to Kohler Services. Family owned for 150 years, Kohler is your Wisconsin manufacturer providing care for life, and this month only. Get $1,000 off your Lugstone shower remodel and no payment financing until 2026. Visit KohlerServicesWI.com to request your free quote with fast, professional installation always included. That's KohlerServicesWI.com.
Brewers baseball is in the air.
It's back, and it is up, and it is gone. A walk-off homer for Vinny Capra.
Spring back into the baseball season on 100.5 ESPN, Madison's new home of the Milwaukee Brewers.
I'm still working on the poll question because I don't want to slant it against Jesse. So I'm trying to come up with kind of mundane words that are not, that don't have a connotation to them. I think this is unhealthy, personally. I mean, unless he, like, kidnapped your dog or did something really terrible to you, the intensity with which you dislike him is, in my opinion, unhealthy. And I think Craig Counsell would agree with me, even though there were people that defaced the sign at his baseball field, et cetera, et cetera. I am amazed that people feel this strongly. And Jesse, have you come across people that feel as strongly as you?
I sure have. Andrew in Fitchburg on the Carbliss ESPN Wisconsin Talk and Text line. Jesse is spot on with his hate of Craig Counsell. It's one thing to leave. It's another to go to our biggest rival and then gaslight everyone into thinking it's anything more than a cash grab. It all worked out, though. We quickly learned we can be just as successful without him. Andrew in Fitchburg.
Successful, an interesting word that we chose there. All right, let's take one call now, and then we'll take some more at the top of the 10 o'clock hour, which should have already started. 844-770-3776. 844-770-3776. Let's talk to Dan in Brothertown. Coach, how are you, buddy?
Hey, we're doing great, man. Everything's great.
I'm happy that Kayla will be sticking around at UW Green Bay because we are big fans of her and her team, and we're excited to see Gracie Gresh on her roster now. But we're excited to talk to you. Tell me that Jesse is unhealthy. If that sounded biased, it should be.
I hate that, you know, I hate to hurt your feelings there, but, you know, as a true blue Brewer fan,
oh boy,
from when they even first came here, and this guy comes in and Counsell gets a job, and I'm happy for him. He's talking about growing up in Milwaukee, Whitefish Bay, Bat Boy, all this stuff. And then he goes and leaves for the Cubs. Jesse is absolutely 100% correct the way he feels.
Wow. Of all the people that I would have expected that from, you were way down on the list. Wow.
That's just the way it is, man. Jason, you're a middle-of-the-road guy, so it doesn't matter. You know, you're a middle-of-the-road guy probably on everything, except for maybe with your daughter stuff. But when you grow up as a Brewer fan like I did, and you've been through the years when they had people like Ron Theobald playing second base, and now no knock to Ron Theobald, but still –
little bit.
What did Rod Theobald ever do to you?
A little bit of a...
Don Money would like to know what
general.
He did.
They called him the general. But, I mean, I'm just saying the teams that we've had, and then we get to a point where we're competitive, and we're getting to a point where we can feel that, God, we can get to World Series. And then all of a sudden now it's like he never got us to the promised land, and then he goes to our enemy. He goes to the one team that... Absolutely. That's like Favre going to the Vikings. It's the same thing. So you're off my list as favorite people that have been Brewers or Packers. They're, as far as I'm concerned, they're like gone. They're gone. No mention of them. Don't care what happens to them. They're not part of our family anymore.
Wow. All right. Well, I didn't see this coming, especially someone in the coaching realm. But all right. Maybe there's more people that feel like Jesse. I'm seeing it in the YouTube comments as well. For those of you that would like us to get back to the Packers, by the way, it is opening day. And if you are looking for Packers conversation, that'll come up in the 10 o'clock hour. We're also going to talk to our favorite Brewers guy, our Brewers buddy, along with our Bucks buddy who's here in Justin Garcia. We will talk at 10:30. With Jeff Levering, but okay, I'm going to pull this anyway, and if we want to move on, we can, or if Jesse is getting more supportive calls. You'll let people in that disagree with you too, though, right, Jesse?
Maybe.
That is the Carbliss Talk and Text line. The 10 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch starts in 2 minutes, so stick around.
Don't go anywhere. Another hour of Wilde and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin, is coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin, the ESPN app, and Wisconsin On Demand.